All right, let's stand. Acts 17, verse number 15 through verse number 21. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time and nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you for the precious day you've given us. Thank you for the souls been saved, those that followed in baptism, all the other things that you've done in our lives today. We thank you for it. Once again, Lord, this is a new night, new time. We need new blessings. We need your help tonight as we preach, need your power, need your wisdom. And Lord, help us to just have our hearts open to the word of God today, that we might be more like you. Now, Father, once again, your will be done, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll come back to our text in just a few moments, but I want to preach a message tonight, which I've just simply entitled, "Why Prophecy?" Hopefully within the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing some preaching concerning the end times, prophecy, and try to help us to understand where we're at in prophecy, and try to just get us to be excited about the fact that the Lord Jesus could come anytime. And so we'll be giving some message on that. But today, I just kind of wanted to share with you, why is it good not only to preach prophecy, why is it that God puts so much prophecy in the Bible? And I believe that God has some definite reasons for that. I believe we live in a day when there is events going on, just tremendous events going on that show us that we're going near the coming of the Lord. I was over at Brother Bowles the other day and visiting him a few moments, and Bill English was there and helping Brother Bowles, and thank you, Bill, for doing that. I know you don't need my thanks, but thank you for being a blessing to him and a help to him. But Bill mentioned to me, we just sitting there talking a little bit, and Bill said, "You know, there's just been a lot of things happen even in the last 6 months that, you know, that shows, you know, that we're getting near." And I could say nothing but amen. That's true. And I believe as all of us feel this. I believe we do. I hope you do, but I feel it. And people I talk to feel this about the things that are happening. They're significant things that are happening. And we're getting close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think all these things that are happening are causing God's children to expect Jesus to come. You see, we're looking for him. And I think that's good. I think that's right. So I believe the study of prophecy is very, very important to the Christian. And I'm not just talking about the foolishness. I'm talking about the study of the Bible, of prophecy. It is good for us, you see. One man said that when the Bible was written, 1/4 of it was prophecy. I think he knows what he's talking about. He was a Bible scholar. I hope he knows what he's talking about. But 1/4, he said, when it was written, 1/4 of the Bible was prophecy. That's amazing. And so God has devoted much space in his book to prophecy. Writing things that had not happened yet, but will happen in the future. Amen? And they will happen just exactly the way that God says they will, you see. There is some dangers, and that's one of the reasons that I read this portion of Scripture. There's some dangers in studying prophecy. One of them even here, these people desired, all their desire was, they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Now we can get up, we can get all caught up in prophecy and get all caught up in wanting only to hear prophecy and only want to study prophecy because it's an exciting subject. And we can get caught up in that, where that we have a danger of constantly just looking for prophetic things. And a lot of times, if we don't be careful, we really miss the truth of the Word of God and what God is trying to teach us. Because it's not just prophecy that we need to study. And sometimes, even in prophecy, it becomes a test of fellowship. Well, let me tell you something. The test of fellowship is Jesus. And who he is, and he's the great, the living God, he's the Son of God, and he's the Savior of the world. That's who he is. That's really true test of fellowship when you get right down to it. Because let me say something to you. There's times when people will begin to talk about certain things in prophecy. You'll have an idea about prophecy. I'm talking about the way it's going to be worked out, not that the fact it's going to happen. Because God gives us things that's going to happen, but a lot of times it's how it works out. My wife and I was sitting in our living room the other day, and I turned to her and I said, I want you to tell me something. I want you to tell me your idea on where Babylon is at. And we began to talk at and discuss that, and just because in the end, in the book of Revelation, is Babylon will be destroyed. In a day's time, it'd be like a millstone dropped into the sea. Who is that Babylon? You see, some think it's the revived Babylon of Iraq. Now, I'm not downing any of this. I'm just saying is, when you begin to study all that, you or I really don't know. A lot of people think it's Rome. And I understand why they think it's Rome. Some people, and I've heard them say it from the pulpit, it's New York City. Now, I don't think that's where New York City, but I'm not mad at them for just thinking it's New York City. What I'm saying is, it says the merchants will set out there in the sea and they'll bewail the fact this is where all their riches come from. I can understand why they would say it. Maybe it's New York, but I don't really believe it is. That's me. I'm just simply saying to you, but we don't, that's not a test of fellowship. Because there are a lot of people study these things and they come up with different ideas about this or that or how this is going to be laid out. And there's no use me getting mad at them for them kind of things. I may disagree with them, but that's not what's important. What is important is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and who he is. Now, I think it's interesting, and you'll probably hear me make some statements when I preach on prophecy. You'll meet what I believe will happen, you know. But what I'm saying is I know for sure there is a Babylon that's going to be destroyed. Now that we can agree on because the Bible says so. Amen. We may not know where it's at exactly, but we know it's going to happen because God said it's going to happen. So we can be assured of that. So we've got to be careful that we don't miss the Lord Jesus Christ constantly teaching about him, because that's who we need to hear about. We need to know about him. We need to know him better and the power of his resurrection. That's what Apostle Paul said. And we need to know, certainly need to know him better. It's better to do that than to worry about who the Antichrist is. Down for years and years and years, we've heard all kinds of ideas who the Antichrist will be. They want to study what color hair he has and how he's going to comb it and what his number is and all kinds of things like that. And many has had it pinpointed exactly who he was. And, of course, them people's died, so they missed it somewhere along the line. What I'm just simply trying to get at, you know, prophecy is important, but we need to be careful in our prophecy and how we interpret prophecy, you see. I know this. The Spirit of God came to reveal Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. And tell you the truth, I'm not much interested in who the Antichrist is because I plan to be beamed up out of here. Antichrist. So I don't much care who the Antichrist is. I need to learn some things good about him, because God put some things in the Word of God, and it's good for me to know those things, but I'm figuring on getting out of here. Amen. And so I'm interested in the coming of Jesus, not so much the coming of the Antichrist. Amen. Although, like I said, we may talk about some of those things because it's in the Bible. But we're not going to try to name who the Antichrist is. If you're waiting on the edge of your seat for this preacher to name who the Antichrist is, you're just going to be on the edge of your seat for the rest of your life, because I don't know who the Antichrist is. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just simply saying there's a lot of things God tells us. Some people think that the Antichrist, and I think there's good reasons why, that he'll come from Assyria. Some of them, I read a book on the fact that they think he's going to come from the tribe of Dan. He's going to come from Europe. All different ideas of where the Antichrist is going to come from. I think the Bible tells us some things, but folks, you can't tie all those things down. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Prophecy is good, but don't get all caught up in the details that you don't know. And neither do I. And don't fight over them. Don't get mad at people because they disagree with you where the Antichrist is coming from, what color his hair is. Okay? Let's just think about the scriptures and the Word of God, what God does tell us, and make very plain to us. Now, everyone seems to kind of want to know what the future is. That's just kind of something within us. We kind of want to know what the future is, and that's one of the reasons why fortune tellers and astrologers do a thriving business. Because there's something within the individual who would just like to know the future. And God hasn't given the astrologers or the fortune tellers, he hasn't given them anything whatsoever. In fact, I want to take you back to the scriptures just for a few moments and warn you about them. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, please turn there. You see, prophecy was not meant to stir our curiosity. It has different reasons. God has given some reasons in the Bible why he wants us to study prophecy. But it's not just to get us all stirred up and our curiosity all stirred up about these things. There's reason God wants you and I to study prophecy. Back in Deuteronomy, did I tell you, chapter 18? I'm sorry if I didn't there, but chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. And let's just read a few verses. And folks, I don't have to elaborate on this a lot. I want you to listen as I read it, okay? Just listen to what God says about it. In verse number 9, he says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." Now you remember what he said? These are abominations of the nations, that they're going into these nations where and taking that land. And he said, don't do according to the abominations. Now that's what God calls them, abominations. And he says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divinations," and that means foreseeing. And he says, "or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer," which means to one that communicates with the dead. Now that's who he's talking about. And he said, "For all of those do these things are an abomination unto the Lord." Now, did you hear that? God says it's abomination unto the Lord to fool around with them kind of people and listen to those kind of people. Okay? So, and they're all over. I mean, we've seen them down south. We'd be driving down the road and there'd be great big signs up there, you know, someone who is, fortune teller, witches, and all kinds of people. You know that you see that. Stay away from it. I mean, I'm not saying that you would go, but I'm saying you know it's abomination to God because God said it was. Okay, and then he says, "And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And again, he uses the word abominations. And he said, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Now God says you're not to do that. What's them? For some reason, my mind went south. What's those things in the paper? What do they call them?
Horoscopes.
Horoscopes. Thank you. Horoscopes. Folks, that's nothing but what he's talking about here. Observer of times. That's what he's talking about. Don't read those stupid things. It's just silly. See, God says it's an abomination to him. Them kind of people are an abomination unto the Lord, or at least what they're doing is an abomination unto the Lord. So stay away from them. You see, so in any way, you know, there's that kind of something inside people that they just like to go in and some fortune teller tell them what's going to happen to them next. They can't tell you. They don't know. It's just false cults. And it's an abomination to God. So just get that part of it down, okay? Don't be a part of that. Once again, let me remind you, prophecy is not something that just stirs our curiosity. That's not what it's for. God has a reason for prophecy. First of all, the first reason is that prophecy proves the truth of the Bible. Now, the Bible does not need to be proved true. It is true, whether anybody believes it or not. Whether you find proof in the Bible or not, it is true. But prophecy does prove that the Bible is absolutely true. Because what God writes in the Bible, what God tells us in the Bible, comes true. Everything that God says absolutely will come true because God said it. Now, false cults and false religions will tell you about the past, they'll tell you about the present, and they may try to tell you about the future, but they're wrong. They don't know the future, but many times they don't deal into the future. They deal only with the past and the present, and they don't know the future because they don't know the future. You see, so a test of prophecy is always, if you're still there in Deuteronomy, I want to show you this before we turn from there, but the test of prophecy is that it always comes true. Now, in verse number 20 of chapter 18, it says this, but the prophets which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt in thy heart, and if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? He asked a question. How are you going to know when God hasn't spoken it? And here's what he says. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. In other words, any time it's something spoken by the Lord in prophecy, it will be fulfilled. Amen. I remember it was quite a few years ago. It was back in, I think, wasn't that in 91 when we had that first Iraq war? Was that in 91? I think it was. There was a man in Terre Haute. He was a preacher. Man in Terre Haute who came out in the paper, and he said, we are going to get into this war, which we knew we was going to. It was going to happen very soon. And he said, we are going to be defeated. Now, he said, God told me this. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of him. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just simply saying to you, he proved he was a false prophet in that respect. Because it did not happen. And that's why I was trying to tell you earlier, we've got to be careful the statements we make. Very, very careful, you see. God told me this. If it didn't come true, then you're a false prophet. Amen. And God's not giving out any new prophecies to any of us. He is given in his word, and he lets us teach his word and learn from his word, but he's not given any extra. He never told this man that America was going to be defeated in that Iraq war. He never told him. He never said that. So we know that because it did not come true. Hundreds of years before Christ in the Old Testament, God told us multitudes and multitudes of prophecies concerning Christ. You're familiar with that. I don't have to read all of them to you. I don't have to tell you. But God, throughout his Old Testament, made many prophecies about the Son of God. He told us about the time of his birth back in the book of Daniel. I think it's in the 9th chapter. He told us concerning the time, told us when the Messiah would come, when the Messiah would be cut off. We find that in that wonderful portion of Scripture, and I think it's in Daniel, the 9th chapter. So if they had followed the Scriptures, they would have known in what area of time that Jesus Christ was coming and when he would be cut off. We also know the fact of the virgin birth was told us in Isaiah, the 7th chapter. The wonderful virgin birth was already told us, and we know that he was going to be born of a virgin. We also know the place of his birth in Micah, the 5th chapter. Bethlehem was the place of his birth. God wrote that many, many years before he was born, you see. And that had to come true if Jesus was the Messiah, and he was the Christ, you see. And even the details of his life and death, you find them over in Psalms 22 and in Isaiah 53. Gives us many, many, many truths concerning his life and his death. We find also the fact of his resurrection in Psalm 16. What I'm saying to you, we can go on and go on and go on. There's no need to. But all through the Bible, God gave us prophecies concerning his wonderful Son and his birth and his death and all of those things, his resurrection and all of those things. So I'm simply saying we know it's true because God put it in there, and we know it's true because it came to pass. That's prophecy. Amen. So firstly, we know that prophecy proves the truth of the Bible. Secondly, we know that prophecy reveals the purpose of God. I want to show you back in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. The 18th chapter, starting at verse number 16, we know that God does not give us every detail about his purpose. But he does many times give us the purpose of why he's doing something. In chapter 18, verse 16, he says concerning Abraham, and he says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way." And he says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" God said, "I'm not going to hide from Abraham that thing which I do. I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to tell him what I'm going to do. So he will understand when I destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He will understand and he will know." And he said, the reason I'm going to tell him that, he says in verse number 18, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." You see, Abraham, God looked at Abraham and he said, this man is going to raise his children right. He's going to do right. He's going to be a great man of God. And he said, I'm not going to hide from him what I'm going to do. So you notice in verse 20, he says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And God was telling him, I'm going to destroy them because of their sin. God had a purpose. God had a reason. And God said, because their sin is great, their sin is grievous to me, I am going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the plains there, And he was giving Abraham the purpose of why he was doing this, because of their great sin. So God allows us to understand these things. He reveals the plan many times and shows us the plan so that we can understand when the events happen, why God did it. Now, let me say to you, not always does God always tell us every detail. I don't know what he did in New York in 2001. He didn't tell me. But I can use principles and say, why did God allow that to happen? And I can look at the principles of the Bible and the Word of God and know that there was a reason God allowed that to happen. I believe one of those reasons is he is doing his best to waken us up. I believe that. And I believe he was gracious that day. I didn't bring it out here, but I have a little article on that concerning that day. And because someone asked, where was God? And then this article shows that there could have been multitudes and multitudes, probably double or three times as many killed as there were. If it had just been the timing different. The planes that went down were not fully loaded. Was God there? Yes, God was there. And was God allowing this? I believe God allowed it to happen. And I think it's to waken the American people. I believe he's trying to wake up the church. I think I even preached that during that time. But he needs to wake up the church. This is serious business. And so God's waking us up. But I don't know every detail why God does everything. But a lot of times he even gives us them principles in his word to show us why he's doing these things. Why is all these storms happening? Why is all this happening across America? I believe with all my heart he's trying to wake us up. He did that to Israel. And the same principles are there. He's trying to wake us up. He's trying to get us turned back to God. And I'm saying to you, it's right now, it's not really happening. Will it? I hope it will, but it's not happening. But he's warning us. He sees what he's doing. So he's showing us the purpose of God as he puts prophecy in the Bible. Not only that, prophecy brings peace to the believer. Now, I want to take you over to the book of John, the Gospel of John, please. 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. I want to read to you in the 13th chapter. We'll read there, stay at where the 14th chapter is. But the 13th chapter, verse 33, says, "If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall," that was verse 32, "and straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." What Jesus was telling unto his disciples was, I'm going to go away. I'm going to leave. He gave them some instructions on how to behave. He said, love one another. Still good instructions. That was the command he gave. Love one another. Care for one another. Be concerned about one another. Amen. So then, in chapter 14, he said, I'm going to go away, but listen to what he says in chapter 14. We'll just read the first three verses. Listen to this. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What did he do? He immediately came and gave prophecy to them. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Why? He wanted to tell them so their hearts wouldn't be troubled. And he also told them he was coming back to get them. That's prophecy. Why did he do that? Because he'd over here told them he was going to leave them. He wants them to have the peace of God. And so I'm saying to you that, you see, comfort comes through prophecy. Prophecy gives to us a peace of God that is wonderful. See, in this old dark world, folks, and it is an old dark world, it's a troubled world. Every one of you sitting out here could find times and says, you know, that I'm just going through a difficult time. I'm having a hard time. You know, troubles are besetting me. And Jesus wants you to look and say, but I'm coming back. You see, why? It's prophecy. It's promised. He's coming back. You see, and that ought to comfort our hearts that Jesus is coming back, you see. And so that's what he does. He comforts us through prophecy because we know Jesus will do exactly what he said he would do. Amen. And then prophecy is to produce in his children a holy life. Now, this is a purpose. I want you to listen to me. This is the purpose that God gives prophecy, what I've told you, but also it's here to produce in us holy living. Let me show you. Let's go to the book of Philippians, the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Now, I want you to listen. I'm going to start reading at verse number 10, but I want you to listen very carefully because Jesus tells us within this portion of Scripture why he prophesies. Why does he tell us he's coming again? Just so we can sit around and say, hallelujah, Jesus is coming. Isn't that exciting? Well, it is. But you know what? That's not the purpose. The purpose of it is to produce in us holy living. Look at verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were all already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now listen, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, if you will remember, the first portion that I read to you was instructions in holy living. How to live. How to walk. What to do. And then he said at the end there, he said, why? Because I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a reason God tells us about his coming. It's to clean our lives up. That's why he gives us all those instructions. And then he says, Jesus is coming from heaven. You see, and that ought to straighten our lives up, you see. That's the purpose of it. It isn't just so we can sit around and glory at the fact he's coming one of these days. It's to clean our lives up. He's saying to us, get ready, I'm coming again. Amen. Now look at Colossians, the next book over. Chapter 3. Verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So what does he say to do? Well, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, for fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Why did he say that? He said because in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. He says, clean your lives up. Kill the things of the body. Get rid of them and walk right, as he said up before in those verses. Walk right. Walk according to the word of God. Why? Because Jesus is coming. See, prophecy is to stir our hearts to right living. In all seriousness, think about it. If Jesus would come tonight, we know he could, but if Jesus would come tonight, you know, don't you think it'd be better to have our life cleaned up? Don't you think it'd be better living right, doing right, being right with him? Sure, that's what the purpose for it is to clean our lives up and keep us living for God. Look at Titus, please. Second chapter of Titus. Titus, yes, the second chapter, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Don't you hear the scripture? When God says, why? Because I'm coming again. What should you do? You ought to clean your lives up. You ought to purify your lives. You ought to live right. You see, so he tells us about his coming, so we'll be ready. You're a Christian, you're saved, so you're ready that way. What should else we do? We ought to clean our lives up. I mean, don't you believe that? You see, that ought to excite you. Really, it ought to. It ought to take to heart what God is saying in his word. Jesus could come today. So clean our lives up. Get right with God. Walk right. And then over in 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter, the third chapter. Verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, listen, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for those things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Did you hear what God is saying to us? God is saying, because I'm giving you prophecy that these things are going to happen, and I'm coming again, I'm going to do all these things I said, what should you do? Clean your lives up and be without spot and blemish. You see, it's not just a curiosity that Jesus is coming and we're all excited about that, like to hear messages on it. It ought to do something for us. It ought to cause us to look at our life and examine our life and do something about those things that are wrong in our life. Amen. That's what it's designed to do. So I'm saying to you, you see, prophecy is to cause us to be holy. Prophecy proves the truth of the Bible. Prophecy gives the purpose of God in the Bible. Prophecy brings peace to the believer. Great peace to the believer. Also, prophecy is to produce in his children a holy life. Amen. That's what it's designed to do. I want to ask you something. If tomorrow President Bush, or let's just say President Bush, was going to visit your house, He's going to stop by to see you tomorrow. You already knew he's coming. What do you think you would do around your house? Would you do some straightening up? Make sure everything's in place? Get Randy Beller over to clean your carpets? Amen. And you'd get everything looking nice. I mean, I'm telling you, there isn't a woman alive probably that doesn't do this. My wife, when she has comfort, has people coming in, you know, she'll just go around and, boy, little knickknacks here and clean them all up. And she keeps a good house, whether that's happening or not, but she gets extra. Boy, she makes it all look pretty, you know, and everything, you know. Why? Company's coming. Don't you think if we believe and understand that Jesus is coming, we ought to clean this up?
Amen.
I mean, don't you think so? You see, that's what it's all about. Amen. So prophecy is good for us. Why prophecy? Well, the things I just talked about. There's reasons for it, purposes for them. Amen. So let's get excited about prophecy. Let's get excited about Jesus coming. But the right reason. Let's get our lives cleaned up. Amen. Because our Savior is coming. Let's pray. Father, I sure thank you again today for your grace and your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for who you are. You're the true and great and living God. You're the only God. Now, Father, we ask you tonight to do that in hearts that we certainly can't do. We trust you take your word and apply it to us. Help us, Lord, to understand the truths of this, and Lord, to do what needs to be done to help us to be more like you. Now, Father, there may be somebody here that's unsaved. If that's true, certainly they need to be saved. They need to know you as Savior. And then, Lord, if we do know you as Savior, we need to be right with you. So you help us, Lord, to do right, clean our lives up, change things that need to be changed. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.